Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hello, I see you're interested in the Corsa with
mobile connectivity.
Exactly.
And advanced European engineering for a fun dynamic drive.
All for just £149 initial rental, then £149 a month.
Really?
Search Corsa Energy. Vauxhall. British brand since 1903. Personal contract hire offer on Corsa 3-door Energy 1.4 75 PS in metallic paint. Initial rental £149 plus 47 months at £149. Excess miles over contracted mileage of 20,000 over 48 months, charged at 5 pence per mile. You will not own the car. T's and C's apply. Offer ends March 31st, 2018. Offer not available with free insurance.
Gamertag Radio presents E3 2016 coverage. Danny Pena, Paris Lilly, and Peter Toledo are direct from the convention center floor.
Get daily interview, roundtable discussion, all the latest gaming coverage, developer interview, and latest news from the crew.
A Gamertag Radio exclusive.
E3 is one of the biggest events for Gamertag Radio, and you don't want to miss this.
Here we go.
E3 2016 coverage starts now.
All right, so we're wrapping up. Is this even day one, or is this what do we consider this, the media briefing days? This is still pre-E3, so we're wrapping up the final day of pre-E3, Monday night here in Los Angeles, California, E3 2016. I'm here with Pete. Danny is technically here, but Danny's not going to talk.
Hey!
Well, there you go. So, I, after the Sony press conference, had the pleasure to go over to the Ubisoft lounge and check out some games over there, while Danny and yourself went over to the Xbox showcase and you grabbed some interviews there as well. So, Pete, why don't you talk about some of those interviews that you got, what All people right. can expect?
So, I don't know what order Danny's going to put them in, so I'm just going to throw them out there. We had an opportunity to speak with, I believe, the creative director of Forza Horizon 3. We got a chance to speak with one of the developers from Sea of Thieves, and I think my personal favorite was speaking to the bearded giant, Rod Ferguson, for Gears of War 4.
Nice.
So we also had a chance to interact with a couple of community members, Southbound. We saw Esco from the MVP group, as well as Marcus. Quick chat with Phil Spencer. Had a lot of fun. It was a really interesting evening. How about yourself?
Did you get to actually demo anything?
I had a technical hands-on. Technically, I had my hands on a controller for Tekken. I guess that's like an alliteration there, Tekken technical. But unfortunately, we had some technical issues, so I had to step away from the game. So I never really got to play it. I just got stuck on, I think it was Martial Law versus Heihachi, but I never got an actual chance to play the game. Gears of War 4, while it looks kind of like it looks kind of like Gears of War regular gameplay. I didn't really have a chance to play a lot of that. I know Danny had a good 20-30 minutes maybe on Sea of Thieves. He has an interesting perspective on that. Hopefully we could pull him away from editing and show and have him share his thoughts on that. Interesting. I want to know what you got your chance to check out over at the Ubisoft conference. So.
Okay, and I'm blanking on the name, so I apologize right now because it is late at night right now. But I got to play the VR game with the Eagle game that's set in Paris, France. I got to play a demo of that. It was 3v3, capture the flag, basically. Right. Like there's a rabbit in the city, you grab the rabbit and then you have to take it back to your nest. And then the other three opponents, while you're trying to take it back, are trying to basically shoot you down out of the air so then they can pick it up and take it to their base. So again, it's just classic capture the flag. It was good. We were using the Oculus. I guess we were using the Oculus. Yeah, it was Oculus Rift. And the head tracking I was very impressed with, because the way that you control the game is your movement is all about, you look up if you want to go up, you look down if you want to dive down, obviously left, right, and everything in between, because it's the complete 360 degree world that you're in. You're using an Xbox One controller. Right trigger was to accelerate, left trigger was to slow down. Your B button kind of fires your missile or whatever, because you're trying to shoot down a bird. And then I believe it was the X button. Was kind of like a shield to kind of like block the shot if you time it right. But it was fun. Again, it's VR. This was my second time actually being immersed into VR, and like I said, I felt like I had complete control. Picked it up right away, and yeah, it was great. It was a lot of fun to do it.
What would that be, a game that would be a system seller for VR?
No, I wouldn't say that. And we kind of touched on this a little bit during Danny did, when we were kind of wrapping up from the PlayStation press conference, when we saw all the VR games there. Like, I think he brought up, for example, God, which one was it? Was it the Star Wars X-Wing thing? The Battlefront. It was the Battlefront one. Where, and it was one. The point I'm trying to make is where you're seeing these things that aren't a full game. They're just kind of like a technical demo, a potential of what it is. This was just, like I said, a very simple capture the flag game. It's not something I would ever see me dumping hours and hours into. Okay. Playing, you know what I mean? It's something like, oh wow, this is really cool. I'm in Paris, France, and I'm an eagle flying around, and I can dive and go between trees and go high up in the sky. I go to the Eiffel Tower, things like that. But after you do that a few times, a few hours, are you really going to want to go back and keep doing that again? Not necessarily. Whereas going back to when I first got to play Minecraft, obviously that's content creation. You're doing something. You can visit other people's creations, their world. So that's something you could immerse yourself into. Just being at the event, talking to PR, Star Trek was not there, the Star Trek VR, but it is at the booth, the Ubisoft booth at the convention center. So we'll get hands-on with that during the week, and hopefully we'll snag an interview as well. The other thing I got to play was an extended demo. It was about 30 minutes long. The single player for For Honor I got to play. And it was actually longer than what we saw during the press briefing, additional scenes. I'm not going to go as far as to say that, like, oh my God, For Honor's the greatest game ever that, I gotta have. But I'm very interested to know more. I want to do more for the simple fact that there is a learning curve to the fighting mechanics to it, because you need to block as well as get your strikes and things like that. It's one of those games that's simple to pick up but hard to master. So, we did the multiplayer last year, so we got a taste of it, and this was the single player portion of it. I went through like a tutorial to understand the control system, the blocking system, the melee attacks, things like that. And then they actually put you into the mission that you have. Like, we went from being, like these knights to then the actual mission were Vikings. And it were the Vikings that were invading like feudal Japan. So that was interesting. And then you go through till you finally get the boss, and you fight the boss, whatever. Hey, I took him out the first time, which allegedly people don't normally do, but she could have been blowing smoke up my tuchus. I don't know.
So actually, having played the multiplayer last year at E3 when we had an opportunity,
completely forgot everything. So it was still like almost like playing it for the first time, because I completely forgot the blocking schemes and all that from when we played it a year ago.
It's not a game that caters to the button mash scene
and that's the thing. You can roll into it like a button masher, but as you start progressing up and get to some of the harder enemies, and I'm not even talking about the boss characters, I'm just talking about as you're trying to go through the level, that doesn't work, because you need to lock on. Because like when it's just the simple soldiers, you don't need to lock onto them. You can kind of just melee, swipe, 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 get them out of the way. But then you get to kind of like those mid-tier enemies. You need to actually lock on them and engage with them. You need to block, parry. You know, there's a move you can do, and it's with the square button because you're using PlayStation 4, where you can kind of almost tackle them, and you can pick them up and carry them and slam them on the ground because you basically break their defense, and then they're dizzy, and then you can swipe them. So that, again, those type of mechanics go into it. So it's very simple at first, but it can get very complicated, especially when there's multiple enemies that you're engaged with at once. And your AI characters can also be engaged with them, so you kind of got to try and leverage them as well. So that's what I'm saying. By the end of the demo, it was starting to click for me. I'm like, okay, now I see how you do it. And there's power-ups you can get as you're going through. There's additional health you can pick up, and you can map those to the D-pad, you know, for like quick access to them, things like that. So it's in, and graphically looks great and all that. Level design was really good. It's something different that we're normally used to. We're used to having a gun or something. Like, now we got swords and it's melee combat. So I do wonder if people will get engaged with this, but I think once you actually understand the fighting mechanics of it, it can be a lot of fun. I definitely had a lot of fun playing the single player.
Good to know. So in our, actually, and I want to go back to your Oculus experience. Got a chance to play a little bit of the Minecraft with the Oculus, and it kind of opened my eyes. I know last year, I believe it was you that had you were kind of intrigued with Oculus with VR meets Minecraft.
Well, it was at the Spring Showcase this year.
Okay.
That's when I played.
That's
it.
When it was. Yeah. Okay. Do your kids play Minecraft?
Yes.
Okay. Do they get like 3 hours in type Minecraft, or is it just they play for a little bit?
My son was, but he's kind of been sipping the Destiny the Destiny and the Battlefront juice.
Right.
And NBA 2K juice, so he hasn't been doing it a lot lately, but he used to.
Okay. So in the times that I've played Minecraft with my daughter, and it's usually one of those bonding moments with my daughter. I mean, my daughter's 12, so she's about that age, right? It was one of those, like, I'd be watching either her play or I'd be playing Minecraft, and I'd kind of get that queasy stomach sensation because you kind of lose track of where she's going. Sometimes she's going too quickly for your eyes to follow. Actually, I did it. It's funny. I did it on a Surface with Oculus, and it played remarkably smooth, first off. Second, I didn't get the queasy feeling. And
right.
That's what caught me a lot by surprise, because I know last year, and maybe it's because it's the game type, it's not that free-flowing, roaming around kind of like, because I know I kind of got a little queasy with Elite Dangerous last year with Oculus, but I didn't get that. And I don't know if maybe that's a software tweak where, you know, they're able to track your head movements, just not as nausea-inducing.
Well, that's why I keep saying with the Eagle game, the fact that you have the sensation of you're flying around, diving and climbing and all that, and it's all head tracking, and I never once felt out of sorts or anything. So, I mean, yeah, I do think there's some software tweaks in there that's fine-tuning that head tracking.
Yeah, and Minecraft, I mean, it's always been fun on that base level of, you know, like getting going and doing your own little construction and tapping into that creative vein that everybody has. While not everybody has, you know, they're able to flourish in that creative mode. A lot of people, you know, it's basic building little squares and rooms and houses. And it was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. It's kind of eye-opening for me with the applications, more so of what you can do with a game like that. And then going into the Eagle Hunt game, like I really wish we could remember what the name of that game was now.
Right.
That looks like a lot of fun. And then moved over to, I want to say, Sea of Thieves. Again, that's one of those games that's a lot of fun in a group environment. I would love to see, if I can pull Danny aside real quick, was there co-op for that, like couch co-op style for Sea of Thieves, or was that more of a like LAN party environment?
Oh, that was online.
Online. Okay.
And the thing is, the demo they had was just only like you're like in the ocean, the ship, and you have your crew, and that's it. So you could attack other ships. So they did mention that there's other things you could do in the game, like missions and not missions, but like you could discover like islands and there's like other things to do there. And also there's a lot of things that could happen during the day or at night. Like I believe it during the trailer, you got to see like the enemies, all skeletons and stuff like that, you know, that happened like at night, like little things like that. But it's fun. I had a blast with the game and stuff. So, but it's not a game that will go like day one of me buy it, you know, but the thing I like about this is I can sit down with like my nieces, my nephews, play with them. Let's say I was telling this to Paris, you have a Windows 10, Xbox One, your son could play on Xbox One. You could play on Windows 10, do co-op together and stuff and play with other friends too. You know, it's like a game for like the family and friends, you know? So
right,
I like
it. Which is, you know, I was talking about this before E3, why mm-hmm. I was so intrigued with it. But the question I have for you real quick before you get back to editing.
Yes, I'm editing.
When you say attack other ships, are those going to be real people that you're attacking, or is it AI characters?
Well, that's the... I think it's mixed. Because the we only had... How many people were, like, maybe six? Six in one side. Yeah, my group, we had six, and there was, like, multiple stations and stuff. So they were also had their crew and a different ship. So we were like attacking each other and stuff. So,
right.
But I didn't, I'm trying to remember if I did ask that question to during my interview. I got to listen to it. I got to go back and listen to it. But I think I mentioned that he did say yes, that it's a mix of AI and also other players too.
Right on.
So, I mean, that's cool. You know, and here's the thing. This is something different and new from Rare, and we need something like that from them. You know, everybody's sick and tired of the whole Kinect stuff, you know. And I think the last game to me that was like amazing from Rare was Viva Piñata, and it was something totally different, you know. Nobody else is doing that, you know. So yeah, props to Rare. I like it. I like Sea of Thieves.
Thanks, Danny, appreciate that.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it. take it out. You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
Well, let's go back to the spring showcase, because I'm spring. the Xbox, the showcase that was tonight, the media showcase. Because I showed up late. I was there towards the end, and I got to actually see that Xbox One S.
Yes,
that thing is tiny.
By the way, that was the one that was sitting at the for the Gears of War 4. I remember you and I had talked about it, and you were like, are those the S's? And I mistakenly said, no, I think those are
the S's. Yeah, and when you said that, I was like, have you been drinking? Because I'm pretty sure this.
Yes, I was drinking. I'll admit it. But yeah, they're small, clean. Like, very. Like aesthetically.
Stormtrooper clean.
Yeah, like they look really, really nice. That'll look really nice in the living room entertainment center. Yes, you heard that. what else was there? Forza. I can't wait to play. I can't wait for Danny to release that interview with the creative director from Forza Horizon 3. Drop in, drop out. Gameplay is smooth as glass. Looks interesting. It almost gives me the sensation of the Burnout series.
Yeah.
With going offline or going off road. I mean, sorry. It was a lot of fun. Like it looks like you could finally bring that arcade racer with a lot of fun experiences. It kind of reminded me of a very polished Blur. Nice. Without the power ups.
Right.
And I think that's something that's really missing from the racing community. You know, as you'll hear in the interview, that when it comes out, you know, there's full support for throttle and steering wheels, online drop in, drop out, powered by the cloud, no dedicated servers. So it's good stuff. It's good stuff. Anything else from the Ubisoft Ubisoft showcase that you got to see that sparked your interest, that may have surprised you more so going, you know, more so afterwards versus like what you came in with?
Well, I have to fully admit, they did have a demo for the new Division DLC, And I just kept on walking. I was like, I don't think I'm the guy that needs to needs to be checking this out. But I just kept on walking on that one. But no, I mean, the two things that I brought up were the two major things, because Watch Dogs was not there. So we'll catch that at the booth. And Ghost Recon, we already have an interview and everything for that, which you may or may not hear before this, but it's definitely going to be coming out tomorrow. But again, I gotta go back to Xbox again. Here's my one question, because, you know, we're going to interview Aaron Greenberg here pretty soon, that I have to ask. How are we talking to Cortana if we don't have Kinect? Because now Kinect isn't a, you know, it's not coming with Kinect. You got to go get a USB adapter thing, which, you know, I guess you can go through and get it for free if you've already owned an Xbox One.
That's correct.
If you still want to use Kinect, it's not they're not going to support Kinect anymore. It's just the Xbox One S is not necessarily designed with Kinect in mind. Let's put it that way. So how are we communicating with Cortana? Because, like, you know, Danny, talking with him, he was saying he thought maybe you're using a headset to talk to Cortana, but that's not practical, because basically what Microsoft is trying to do is make Cortana its Amazon Echo. Where, hey, Cortana, if I'm just in the kitchen doing something, hey, Cortana, turn the Xbox on. Hey, Cortana, what's on channel 12? Or, you know, whatever, things like that. I mean, that's what they're looking to use Cortana for. Play this on Xbox Music or whatever. So a headset obviously is not going to work in that scenario. So I'm just curious. I'm just very curious how there's got to be a microphone built into the hardware somewhere that they're not necessarily promoting, but it's there. The other thing I took away from in my limited time there was the design controller thing. Like, I'm a grumpy old man, so I went into this thing, I don't need no controller. Just give me the one I got. As long as it worked, that's all I care about. Next thing I know, I'm standing at that station, and I made a Laker controller, and I made a Tampa Bay Buccaneer controller. And I'm not saying I'm going to go spend the $40 or $50, however much it costs. I don't know if they've even announced what the new controllers are going to cost. But anyways, the point is, I don't necessarily know if I want to run out and spend that kind of money on a controller when I have two controllers at home that work just fine. But it was cool to design one, and I can definitely see the appeal of doing that.
Well, I think that design controller concept, I think it's Xbox Design Labs is the name of the formal name for them. It kind of takes that market away from that custom controller, you know, from the custom controller market. It'd be interesting to see, because I know they were just doing it with the standard controller, and I'd hopefully if you guys have a chance and you can remember during interview with Aaron tomorrow, is that possible with an Elite controller?
Yeah, well, see, I'm going to say no, because just how customizable it is, it looks like that is for just strictly this new controller. That,
but it's just color schemes, though.
I get that, but I don't know if... I shouldn't say that. What do I know? Maybe it is. Who it is?
Putting words in Aaron's mouth.
I'm just assuming they're making that custom Gears 4 Elite controller, and then you have the standard Elite controller. I don't know if they necessarily, because of the cost of making that, I don't know if they necessarily want to get into that market of making those custom colors at that price point. I'm an idiot. I don't know. I could be completely wrong. I'll probably bring that up tomorrow. And he's like, no, actually, we could do whatever we want. So who knows?
That would be fantastic. I mean, you figure you're paying 100. How much is the Elite controller?
That's what I'm saying. It's like $150.
$150. If I want in pink with purple and blue polka dots on it, I should be able to have that option available to me. And at the end, even if it's a premium add on to it, where you're adding another $10 to it.
That's true.
Why not?
Yeah,
you know, it brings that ownership level, that pride of like, look, this is I custom created this, and this is the one I'm going to carry to my friend's house when I go play Madden,
right,
or whatever. That's that little fun thing. I think that's a good opportunity for them. Hope you guys really like the Rod Ferguson interview that we had. Stoked for it. I'm stoked for it.
Well, see, that's my question to you guys. And obviously, I'll listen to this interview myself, too, just to see what you guys ask. But my one thing is, did you get hands-on with Gears 4?
I did not. The line was...
Yeah, because that's what I mean. I got to actually see people playing the single player. Like, I guess it was that same demo we saw during the press briefing?
Yeah, it was an extended full single-player campaign level that you got to play. There were the... It looks like standard Gears fair, but it looks cleaner.
Well, and that brings my next point up. The fact that it was, those were the only games that were being played using the new Xbox One S.
Yes.
Is it One S? Yeah, yes, Xbox One S. And part of the feature in that is Gears takes advantage of that with the HDR lighting. Yes. So I wonder if that's why, and you said it looked cleaner, that would make a lot of sense.
Yeah, it's you know how they say like there's that difference between the DC Comics movies and the Marvel movies, mm-hmm. you know, like where like you've got one with the poop filter on and then the other one's got bright poppy colors.
Right.
And that's always been a knock in my personal opinion. Not everybody may share it. My opinion is that the colors are always dark and dirty and brown and grays, where now you're getting more of that color saturation back into the game experience on Gears 4. And it makes that much more of a difference for the immersion of the characters and your experience. And I really hope that that's what gamers get when that game launches.
Yeah.
So,
and then I guess my final wrap up on this, and I brought it up earlier, is I'm excited for this Xbox Anywhere because, I mean, when I play Gears 4, it's going to be on Windows 10. And, you know, I even saw Rod Ferguson tweet earlier in the day showing they were showing Gears 4 in 4K. You know what I mean? And it's like, that's because it's Windows 10. And that's what I'm excited about. And that's what console owners will get in 18 months with Scorpio. So it's a good time to be a gamer, man. It really
absolutely
is.
I can't remember who was it that that said the comment. We had read it earlier on Twitter right before the PlayStation conference that Xbox is no longer the physical component that limits what the experience is, or something.
I think
like
it was
that.
I think it was Arthur Geis.
Okay,
Arthur Geis from Polygon. From Polygon. I'm pretty
yeah,
sure he's
said
the one
now
that said
it's
that.
Now you're going to see the true potential of the ecosystem of Xbox versus.
But that's the point. Right. Is they own Windows 10. They're obviously in the market, in the console market with the Xbox. They're making these exclusive games. Leverage the fact that you have all these Windows 10 owners out there that are already PC gamers, and they're, like I said, they're already on Windows 10. They're already on your operating system. Throw the carrot out there to them by saying, here's all these games that were on the Xbox that now you can play too. And we're not saying you only have to play with your PC buddies. We're going to let you play with the console people too. Now, here's the other thing. Do you need an Xbox Live Gold account if you're on Windows 10 to be able to take advantage of that? I'm assuming yes.
Wow.
That is my natural assumption. And if so, that probably would be the deterrent from a natural PC gamer to think, why do I have to pay $50 a year to play multiplayer games with console gamers? But is that the same on the Windows 10 side? Again, another question that I definitely want to ask Aaron and Greenberg.
I mean, if it's the same back end and you're allowing the Play Anywhere or the Xbox Anywhere, it's one for both. I would assume, again, we're speculating now. Like I could understand, but I could see the crutch though, because you typically don't get that from the PC
side. And I would assume if you're just doing Windows 10 versus Windows 10 people, they're not going to make you pay for gold. But if you want to play with someone on a console,
you're going to have to pay a premium.
They're going
to
make,
whether you pay the full Xbox Live charge of $60.
That is my assumption that it'll be. But you know, we'll ask. We'll see. We'll see what they say.
Good to know. Good to see. I guess that's about it. Is there anything else?
I think that's about it.
Thanks for listening. This is Pete in Paris, Gamertag Radio. Please check out the rest of our coverage for E3 2016 here in Los Angeles. We're going to be dropping a lot more coverage for you guys. So for Paris, this is Pete. Have a good night.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.